Now I would like to give each and every one a very warm welcome along to the gospel meeting this evening. And if it's your first time here, we would give you a double welcome and trust that as a result of being here, you will be blessed. And if you're not saved, we trust that tonight might be the night when you turn from your sin and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, I enjoyed it when we were singing a little earlier. That hymn was at hymn number 92. Yes, there's one. Only one. The blessed, blessed Jesus. He's the one. We trust tonight that with the help of God, He's the one that we seek to tell you about. Because salvation is found in none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a number of portions of Scripture I would like to read with you tonight if you've got a Bible, and if you don't have a Bible, we trust that we'll be able to read them clearly and plainly. The first you'll find in Psalm chapter 51. Psalm chapter 51, and we'll read verses 3 and verse 5. Psalm 51 and verse 3. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. My sin is ever before me. Verse number 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3 and just the end of verse 22. For there is no difference. Verse 23. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Just over the page to Romans chapter 5. Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Back now to, if you just keep your finger in Romans 5, we'll be back there, but just turn first of all to Isaiah chapter 53. Isaiah chapter 53. Again, for another very well known verse of Scripture, Isaiah chapter 53 and verse number 5. But he was wounded for our transgressions, he was bruised for our iniquities, the chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. Back to Romans chapter 5 and verse number 6. Romans chapter 5 verse 6, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. Verse 8, but God commendeth his love toward us, in that, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And a final verse in Matthew's Gospel chapter 27. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 27, and verse number 22. Pilate saith unto them, what shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? They all say unto him, let him be crucified. I want you to notice that question in the center of the verse. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? And we trust that the Lord will bless the reading of his own most precious word. We're living in a day of opportunity. Many great things could be achieved in the day and age in which we are living. Technology is advancing day by day. In the world of medicine, new discoveries and cures are being found on perhaps a daily basis. But I want to be a little bit old-fashioned tonight. I want to go back to three basic fundamentals of the gospel. And really, I was thinking of the words of Paul in 1 Corinthians 15. I declare unto you the gospel. In Psalm 51, verses 3 and 5, Romans chapter 3 and Romans chapter 5 and 12, I simply want to write over that man's ruin. The problem. In Isaiah chapter 53 and Romans 5, 6 and 8, I want to write over that. God's remedy. The provision. In Matthew 27 and verse 22, we read that solemn question. I want to write over that man's responsibility, the preference. So what we have is man's ruin, God's remedy, and man's responsibility. We trust tonight that with the help of God we will bring before you man's ruin. What does the Bible tell us about man? Man is just a sinner in the sight of a holy God. When I think of man's ruin, the problem, sin, I want to think about it in its, the essence of sin. What is it? Sin is really the lawlessness or transgression of God's will. Either by omitting to do what God's law requires, or by doing what it forbids. Sin can occur in thought and in word and in deed. Sin is not represented in the Bible as the absence of good or as an illusion that stems from our human limitation. Sin is portrayed as a real and as a positive evil. Sin is more than unwise, inexpedient, or calamitous behavior that provides sorrow and distress. It is rebellion against God's law and against the standard of His righteousness. Sin, my dear friend, is the faithless rebellion of the creature against the just authority of the Creator. Now I want to ask a very simple question at the very commencement of our gospel meeting. Have you ever realized in your life that you're a sinner? My dear friend, that's where we need to start tonight. We need to go back to the very root of all evil. The very root and the very cause of man's problem, sin. And my dear friend, that sin needs to be dealt with. And that sin has been dealt with at the cross of Calvary. But I want to ask the question tonight. Has there ever been a moment in your life's experience when your sin has been forgiven? When you realize before a holy and just God that you're not ready to meet Him? And is there something within your life that is separating you from God? And it's the great problem of sin. Have you ever realized that the great problem of my sin needs to be sorted out if ever I want to be in God's heaven? Let me tell you tonight, I'm no different from you. I'm just made of the same stuff as you. I'm no better than you. I'm just a sinner saved by God's matchless grace. I deserve it no more than you do. I don't deserve it any less than anyone else. I praise God that I can look back to with absolute assurance that night in April in the year 2000 as a 14-year-old boy longing to be saved and I couldn't see it. For the first time in the darkness and in the emptiness of my little experience, I realized I was only a sinner. But Christ died for me. Have you ever had that moment? When you took Christ to be your own and personal Savior, the essence, the problem of sin. Now I want to think a little for a few moments about the entrance of sin. When did it all take place? How did we get into this problem that we'll find ourselves in? I want to think of Romans chapter 5 and verse number 12. Wherefore, as by one man, sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. You know, the Bible tells us in Ecclesiastes chapter 7 and verse 29 that God hath made man upright. Mankind was created without sin, morally upright and inclined to do good. But sin entered. Sin entered into the human experience when Adam and Eve violated God's direct commandment in the Garden of Eden by eating the forbidden fruit. And because Adam was head and representative of the whole human race, his sin has affected every generation from then on to now. And every man, woman, and boy and girl that has ever been born in this world from Adam right down to now, with the exception of the Lord Jesus Christ, was born in sin. The first boy born into the world, Cain. What was he? He was a murderer. Sin entered into the world. Death by sin. And as a result of Adam's sin, there was a corrupted nature. This corrupted nature passed from Adam to all his descendants, and out of this perverted nature arise all the sins that people commit. What does Matthew 15 and 19 tell us? For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts, murders, adulterers, fornicators, thefts, false witnesses, blasphemies. These are the things which defileth a man. I don't have to come to leaving tonight to ask you just to take a look at the world around you. Is that not the practices of the world? Is that not how the world seems to be living? Blasphemies, lies, murderers, adulterers, fornicators, false witness. It all stems back to the problem of sin. But let me bring this to your attention. No person is free from the involvement of sin. For Romans chapter 3 and 22 and 23 will tell us, for there is no difference. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Let me tell you, my dear friend, there is none excluded. On the authority of this book tonight, let me tell you, the great God of heaven has spoken and he has declared that you're a sinner. You're a sinner in the sight of God. So we have the essence of sin, what it is. We have the entrance of sin, how it all began. We have the evidence of sin. Death passed upon all men. I remember a preacher coming to the north of Ireland, and he was going round her locality, and he went to see a woman in her home. She said, "Preacher, there's no such thing as sin." And he says, "Well, my dear, if there's no such thing as sin," he says, "you'll never die." He says, "You have no need to fear death, and you will live forever." She sat up and she looked at him. "Is that not the way we all go?" she says. I want to think of the end of sin. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Man, tonight in his gospel meeting, you're ruined. You've got a problem within your bosom. The medical profession will never be able to solve it. It doesn't matter how many millions you have in the bank, it will never solve it. My dear friend, the problem you have within your heart tonight is the problem of sin. And praise God, I didn't come all the way from Kinross tonight to be hard and tell you that you're a sinner and leave it at that and go out the door and go away home. No, my dear friend, I've got news for you tonight. God has provided a remedy. God has made provision. And my dear friend, let me tell you tonight that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. And I too can write myself in that verse of whom I am chief. I want to think tonight of God's remedy, the provision. I want to think a little of its substitution. I want to think about the shadows of it. I couldn't help but think today, as I thought about substitution, whenever I thought about Christ coming into this world, you know, my mind went back to that story in Genesis chapter 22 of Abraham and Isaac. And there we read this story of how God did tempt Abraham, and he said, get thee up to the Mount of Moriah and there to offer up your son as a sacrifice. Abraham, he rose up early one morning and he took some of his servants with him and Isaac, and off they went with the wood and the fire and everything that they needed for the burnt offering, and off they went up the hill. There come a point in that journey in which Abraham would say to his servants, stay ye here and I and the lad will go forth. Abraham and Isaac move out and they take a few steps, and Isaac would turn and say to his father, Father, we have the wood and we have the fire, but where is the lamb? And here's Abraham, that man that is taking that son that was long for up the mountain, and he would say, son, God himself will provide the lamb. They go to the mountaintop. And there that father takes the son and he bounds him on the altar and he ties him there. And as Abraham would lift that knife just to plunge it into his son and destroy his vital organs, comes a voice from heaven. And he's told to look around, and there he sees a ram caught in the thicket. And Abraham goes and he takes the ram and he looses his tongue. The ram goes on the altar instead of the son. In that little story, we see the shadows of it. In Romans chapter 5 and verses 6 and 8, we see the substance of it. Isaiah chapter 53 and 5, also we see the substance for it. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. With his stripes, we are healed. My dear friend, tonight I want to point you to a person. Not to the gospel hall. Not to the man that stands before you. Not to any church or any organization. My dear friend, I can only point you to Christ. Praise God, I can say tonight, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Let me ask you, can you say that? Can you honestly and truthfully from the depths of your soul say that he loved me and he gave himself for me? We go back to it again, my dear friend. Has there been that moment in your life's experience when you started for heaven? Well, I'm not concerned tonight, my dear friend, when you first went to Sunday school. That's good. And we would love to see more folk going to Sunday school. And I'm not concerned, my dear friend, whenever you first took communion, when you first started your theological course. I'm not concerned about that tonight at all. All I'm concerned about tonight is this. Have you had an absolute definite experience in your life when you took Christ as your own and personal Saviour? I have. And my dear friend, all that is fitting me tonight for glory is not because I was born in the north of Ireland into a Christian home where my parents were saved, not because I went to Sunday school, not because on prize giving night I would stand at the front of the hall and recite John chapter 14, not because I went to series of gospel meetings after series of gospel meetings. No, I'm going to heaven tonight because there was a moment in my life's experience that I've already told you about, when I drank in the truth of the gospel. He died for me. My dear friend, tonight the Lord Jesus left heaven's glories and splendors and came into this sin cursed scene. He was born in Bethlehem's manger, born in the outside place. He'd be out in the outside place for all his life. Men would despise him, men would reject him, men would set him at naught, and here this little babe born in Bethlehem's manger. He grew up as a man amongst men, absolutely holy, absolutely sinless, absolutely pure. He never spoke a wrong word, he never done a wrong deed, absolutely holy, absolutely perfect. Let me get it into your heart and into your soul tonight. This boy, the Lord Jesus Christ, this man, absolutely sinless, absolutely holy, absolutely perfect. But my dear friend, he was the only one that was able to go to the cross of Calvary. He's the only one, my dear friend, who could willingly lay down his life, a sacrifice for sin. What did the words of the hymn writer say? There was no other good enough to pay the price of sin. He only could unlock the gates of heaven and let us in. For Christ also hath suffered for our sins the just, he being the just, for us the unjust, that he might bring us to God, who his own self bare our sins in his own body on the tree, the substitutionary sacrifice. For there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus, who gave himself a ransom for those that have 100,000 in the bank, for those who give to charity on a weekly basis, for those who go religiously to church every Sunday morning. He gave himself a ransom for all. My dear friend, just as I said at the commencement of our remarks in regarding sin, that there is none excluded, we're all under sin. We're all under the penalty of sin. Let me tell you tonight, as a result of the death of the Lord Jesus Christ in Calvary, none is excluded from this great offer of pre-salvation. None is left out. Praise God, tonight I can cry it out and tell it out to the whosoever will. None need perish. Why? Because Christ is tied. Oh, my dear friend, if I could only grip your heart and soul tonight. My dear friend, if you could only just for a little measure understand the love that God had for you, that you are wretched, sinner, guilty, vile, and helpless. And yet the God, the great Creator God, he gave the very best of heaven for the very worst of earth. He gave his only begotten Son. What does John 3:16 tell us? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever tonight, my dear friend, who does that mean? It means you, me, and everybody else. Praise God, whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. My dear friend, do you know Christ is your own and personal Savior tonight? You say, I'm too bad. Let me tell you, in the authority of this book, there's salvation for you. you say, you don't know anything about me. You don't know the things that I get up to. I'm too bad to be saved. Let me tell you, Christ died for you. Tonight, my dear friend, his arms are outstretched and he's bidding you to come. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Perhaps there's some tonight in my meeting and you're saying you're too good to be saved. Do you know what the Bible says about you? All our righteousnesses are filthy rags. I remember being, as a little boy, you know, that there struck me. And I used to go over to a man in our meeting, John McFarland, and he used to buy and sell used tractors. And he was a bit of a tinker. He think he could fix anything. Any time he tried to fix anything, it came out of the garage worse than ever it went in. But I remember one night just standing there in his workshop, and I lifted the dirtiest, greasiest, oiliest rag that I could see. And I lifted it up, and the thought came to my mind, that's all your good living in the sight of God. Christ died for the religious. Christ died for the murderer. Romans 5 makes it very clear. Christ died for the ungodly. We want to point you tonight to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, dear friends, tonight the Lord Jesus Christ had never died, there would never have been a provision for sin. I'm glad that he did die. But tonight, my dear friend, I don't want to leave him on the cross. Nor do I want to leave him in the grave. Because if that were the case, I would have no hope. I'd be a man most miserable. But I want to tell you tonight, the Christ of God that left the glory, the one that walked by the Sea of Galilee, the one that was that wept and prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, the one that went out to the hill of Golgotha, the one that was laid in the new tomb in the garden, praise God, is the one tonight that is in the glory. You go out to the world tonight, and there's many religions, and they all have their gods. And I'm not here to speak against any one of them or to decry them for any moment. For they're great leaders, they're all in the grave. The Christ that we have to present tonight, he's risen. He's alive! And he's alive forevermore. Let me ask you tonight, do you know him as your own personal Savior? If you don't have Christ tonight, what are you depending on for eternity? What are you depending on? James would remind us, for what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and vanisheth away. There's another verse that would remind us that time is short. You see, my dear friend, we're not here to stay. We're all on a great journey, and the journey is going on. And very soon we will breathe our last, and we will go out into God's great never-ending eternity. Let me tell you, there's only two destinies. Heaven of your seed, praise God, I'll be there. For you? There is another place. It's called hell and the lake of fire. The weeping and wailing and gnashing of teeth for all eternity brings me to my final point. Man's responsibility. Two roads before you lie, and you, the choice, must make. One leads upward to the sky, the other downward to the lake. Pilate was there, Matthew's Gospel, chapters 27 and verse 22, and the crowds gathered around him. You see the courtroom scene, and the Lord Jesus Christ has been led in. Many false witnesses have come against him, and yet they could find no fault in him. The blessed Lord Jesus Christ, he was taken. A man would spit upon his face, and they took the hairs from off his cheeks. They left his back like that of a ploughed field. He suffered absolute base indignity at the hands of man that he created. And Pilate asks the question, what shall I do then of Jesus, which is called Christ? The cry goes out, let him be crucified. I want to ask you tonight, what are you going to do with Jesus, which is called Christ? Our little time has come to a close. A gospel meeting has been announced for next Lord's Day, and a better gospel preacher will stand before you. My dear friend, not one of us might see next Lord's Day. I say that with love and with feeling and with tenderness, my dear friend, but I must discharge my responsibility before a holy God tonight. Behold now the accepted time. Behold now the day of salvation. Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for I know it's not what a day may bring forth. My dear friends, I've been to 4 funerals in 3 weeks. They weren't all old folks. That's the reality. That's why we're here tonight. We want to tell you something about the love of God. We want to warn you, man, that you're a sinner and you'll never be in heaven if your sins are never forgiven. We want to tell you, my dear friend, that you just can't live life as you please and go on and do what you want. And hopefully one day that your good deeds will outweigh your bad deeds, and St. Peter will let you in. It's not in this book. It's Christ or the world. What will it be for you tonight? We're going to close the book. We're going to sing a hymn, and we're going to take our leave one from the other. But my dear friend, you have a responsibility, and you have a question to answer before you take my hand at the door. And I don't want to play in anyone's emotions, and I don't want to play in anyone's feelings, but I want to be straight and I want to be honest with you tonight. You could make a decision tonight and your eternal destiny could hinge on it. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Well, I trust tonight, my dear friend, you will be wise. And you'll throw down those puny arms of rebellion and you'll repent and you'll turn away from your sin. You'll cry to the Christ of God to save me. You say, man, don't leave me. Tell me again, how can I get it? I love to think of the Philippine jailer, you know. The man who took 2 gospel preachers and put them in the inner prison, near their feet fast in the stocks, and he thought, that's it, that's the way with them boys, we'll get him sorted out. God moved. And that man made the greatest discovery that he ever made that night. He realized he was a sinner and he wasn't ready to meet God. But praise God, it was all in the plan and the purpose of God, because God had 2 men there to tell him the way of salvation. He asked the greatest question that any man or any boy or any girl could ever ask. What must I do to be saved? Is there anyone tonight in our gospel meeting? And that's the cry of your heart. What must I do to be saved? I'm not going to tell you anything different other than what the Philippine jailer was told. Think of its simplicity. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt. Listen to it now. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt. No ifs. No buts. No reading of the small print. No looking for an extra guarantee. The Philippian jailer cried out, "What must I do to be saved?" The answer comes back and it rings down through the ages, and we'll leave it with you tonight in the gospel hall. I'm leaving. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved. We'll leave you tonight with a little proverb. If thou be wise, thou shalt be wise for thyself. But if thou scornest, thou alone shalt end. Man's ruin, the problem, sin. God's remedy, the provision, Christ has died. Man's responsibility. What shall I do then with Jesus, which is called Christ? Shall we pray? Our Father, we would come before thee tonight again and thank thee for thy Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank thee, O Father, that he ever left thy side at all. We thank thee that he ever went to Calvary. We thank thee, O Father, that he ever cried those blessed words upon the cross, "It is finished." We thank thee tonight that as a result of the death of thy Son in the place called Calvary, that salvation is free and available to you, for whosoever will tonight. Father, thou knowest every heart and every soul in our gathering tonight. Thou knowest where they stand before thee in the light of a great never-ending eternity. Our Father, we would pray for them. And if there would be any tonight in our gospel meeting, and as of yet they know thee not as Saviour, we pray that tonight they might get alone with thee. And they might just come in repentance and in fear and cry to God to save them. We leave these things before thee, our Father. Pray now for a parting blessing, and be with us as we would journey home in inclement weather and in dangerous roads. And our Father, we pray that thou will be with us till we meet again. And thy will as we ask all in our Saviour's name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. And could we sing just a verse or two in closing of hymn number 250. 250, once again, the gospel message from the Saviour you have heard. Will you heed the invitation? Will you turn and seek the Lord? We'll sing verses 1, 3 and 4, just remaining seated, and then the meeting is over of 250.